So my hope became an image of broken hope. There it was. Wasn't that expensive? Wasn't that big of a deal, really, except the image of hope that I bought to look at in my garden became broken on this parking lot. And one of the employees came over and he said to me, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Oh, this just broke." And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry that happened. Unfortunately, that was the last hope that we had." Hope. The last hope that we had. Have you ever had those words spoken to you, or have you heard them spoken inside of yourself? Sometimes I hear things like, "The food bank was the last hope we had for a meal this week." Or, "This treatment is the last hope that we have." Or, "We'll try again, but this seems like the last hope that is available." Or maybe you have experienced broken hope within your own life. Or you've actually been present to someone who is losing hope. Hope can fade. Hope can be broken. And hope can be lost. But hope can also grow. And hope can spring forth. And it can be bright and it can be shiny. In Luke chapter 2, the passage that Susanna read for us this morning, we heard about the shepherds who were living out in the fields. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night. Shepherds, in the time that that passage was written, they worked very long and hard days and nights outside with their sheep. They were caring for their sheep. They were keeping them safe. They were moving the sheep from pasture to pasture. It was a very, very tiring job. And in the days around Jesus' birth, society viewed the shepherds as lowly and as unwelcome. They were considered ceremonially unclean, and they were cut off from all the religious life of the people. They just weren't welcome. They were marginalized. They were the outcasts. And essentially, they were voiceless, and they were a despised group. Shepherds' testimony was not allowed in the courts, so their voice was not welcomed anywhere. And so day after day and night after night, they spent their time looking after the sheep. And day after day and night after night, they knew that they were not welcomed among the others. And so I wonder, what level of hope did they have in the darkness and the cold of the night? And then, into their very, very ordinary setting, God came. And God came to be with them. In the darkness of that night, their lives were changed forever. There was suddenly an angel. And out of the darkness of that night came a bright light, and they were terrified. So let's pause and remember just for a moment why the shepherds had to be with their sheep day and night. One of their main roles was protecting their sheep from predators. So they were used to, they were familiar with the scary things of the night. They were used to figuring out how to get their night vision to work as they saw these predators creeping around. So they were familiar with things that wanted to come and bring harm. These were brave men. I would not want to be out at night. This week, a possum met me on my front porch as I was coming home one night. Was not a good event for me. So I raced back to my car. I would not be a good shepherd. I would not be good at night, keeping predators away. But these shepherds, they were. But on this night, their eyes could not adjust to the brilliance that came to them in the form of an angel. Scripture tells us that they were terrified and that the angel immediately offered them words of reassurance and of good news. Scripture tells us, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" These shepherds were simply attending to their ordinary lives. They were keeping watch when an angel appeared out of nowhere and light literally broke into the darkness. This group of shepherds had an encounter with the heavenly, with God among them. God revealed himself through an angel in a field, and the witnesses are the ordinary shepherds, tired and dirty as they continue their work in the dark of night. And the angel came with good news of great joy that God had chosen to come and to dwell with all people. So, what has your experience been of hope breaking into hard, dark, lonely, or frightening times? What does hope look like? Did hope come as a burst of light? Did hope come in a message from God? Did hope come through another person? Did hope come in the stillness, in the waiting? I had a funny moment this week, another one. This was a moment, week of funny moments. And it was very funny to me. So I was in a bit of a bad mood, and I was talking out loud at home by myself, doing a little bit of grumbling, when all of a sudden Alexa, or people familiar with Alexa, Alexa popped on and she said, "I can't help you with that." And I burst out laughing, and I was humbled. But I really, really received this as a reminder that my grumbling was not going to help the situation, nor were kind of my grumbly rhetorical questions that Alexa must have been listening to for some while. But it was better for me to take this to God, to find my way to the light in this place that felt shadowy. And it was interesting to me that on Advent, the week one of Advent, the word that I chose in our service was the words of "they bowed down." And so I have carried these words, "they have bowed down," with me through Advent. And so I took a posture of bowing down in that moment versus continuing my grumbling. And so hope came quite miraculously through Alexa, this reminder. I can't help you with this, but there is a way, a better way. So let's go back to the shepherds. So one angel would seem enough to deliver the message of good news, but not on this night. On this night, suddenly there was a great company of the heavenly host that appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And the commentaries I read this week, they spoke of thinking of this angel grouping as a great army, like an army that went on and on and on and on. The sky would have been filled with bearers of very, very good news. And these angels came rejoicing. They came praising God. I don't know if we can actually imagine that, but we can try to think of what it would look like for the sky to be filled up with a host of angels. This summer, Terry and I, for the first time, saw the northern lights, and we were in awe. And if we were in awe of that, imagine if those stars became angels and began to sing the glory of God all around us. So these shepherds, who are overlooked and unwanted by society, these shepherds are given the glimpse of the extraordinary breaking into the ordinary. Hope came bounding into their lives. Hope in a form that they could not miss. Hope that spoke to them personally. Listen to the words from Luke 2. The angel said, "I bring you good news, and to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And this will be a sign for you." It's a very personal message given. And this is the beauty of the Christmas story, that God gives each of us this good news in different forms. Emmanuel, God with you, God with me. It's personal. It's beautiful. It's an individual message. And while at the same time, it is a message of great news for all people. So it's for me, it's for you, and it's for all people. It's beautiful. It's hope. It's the ordinary breaking, it's the extraordinary breaking into the ordinary. And hope invites us to follow it, to keep our eyes on it, to allow it to grow. And that's what happened in the shepherds' lives. We continue in Luke 2, it tells us that when the angels had left them, when they were left alone in the darkness of their field, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They left their flocks. I don't know if they said, "Can a couple of us stay back?" or if they said, "Let's go and see this great thing." And they actually left their flocks. They left what was familiar to them. It's really important that we know this. With this message, with the announcement of good news, they left what was familiar to them and they journeyed out. How are we invited to journey out? They are invited to journey into Bethlehem, to this place that they were not welcomed. And yet this hope within them, it spurred them on to go. This hope spurred them on to seek and to see what the angels had told them about. Luke 2 continues, when they had seen him, when they arrived and saw the Messiah in the form of a babe, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And catch this. These people who were rejected, as they spread this good news, Scripture tells us that all who heard it, all those who listened to these shepherds that at first they would not even allow them to speak, all those who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I wonder if we're catching that the shepherds rejoiced, that they told others about what they had seen, and then they returned to their fields. They returned to their sheep. They returned to their ordinary. But this was no longer ordinary for them. They had experienced, they had seen, they had felt the extraordinary good news of hope come to dwell with them. Of this hope seeing them, of this hope speaking to them, of this hope inviting them and then using them to spread the good news of hope. In this Advent season, we are encouraged not to miss the extraordinary in our ordinary lives. It is profound how an ordinary group of people, keeping watch at night, tired and weary and dirty, in that dark field, they encounter the extraordinary in their ordinary. It's amazing how hope came to them. How they captured hope, how they spread hope, and how they were strengthened by hope, and how they were given a new place in society because of hope. So I wonder in this Advent season, how might we prepare ourselves to encounter the hope of Jesus, just like the shepherds did? How do we prepare ourselves to encounter the hope breaking into our ordinary lives? In many ways, the shepherds were well prepared to experience the extraordinary. These were the shepherds who were keeping watch. They were on the lookout. They were attentive. I wonder, are we attentive? How do we awaken ourselves to see the extraordinary work of God in our ordinary lives? How can we do the work of preparation to encounter Jesus in this Advent season? In the Advent reflections written from the group called A Sanctified Art, the writers speak of hope as being vulnerable, and that hope can feel like a very, very big risk. But the shepherds show us what choosing hope looks like. They believe the message that God spoke to them. They received the light in the darkness, and they pursued hope, and again they rejoiced in it. And then the writers of A Sanctified Art continued with the question, what if hope is not a flimsy emotion dependent on outcomes, but a robust spiritual practice? Could we instead think of it like a muscle that we can flex and strengthen? Can we grow our hope muscle? Blogger Kelly Nakoda wrote, I was taught that the birth of Jesus announced by the angels meant hope had landed at last on earth. No one noted what seems to be clear to me now. Advent speaks to the arrival of God's hope initiative, the beginning of the campaign of the hope initiative. How does this hope as a muscle impact your perception of the Christmas story? As you consider this season of Advent as a new beginning, where do you see God's hope initiative at work all around you? And how might I carry forth God's mission of hope into the world, into the spaces that are ours? We may not experience a spectacular angelic vision or visit, but you might. So pay attention. But we can prepare ourselves so that we can be open to noticing the ways of God's presence breaking into our lives. I recognize that distractions get in the way and that we actually might miss the extraordinary breaking in. But we can also cultivate a spirit of attentiveness to hope in our lives. We can be very intentional in pausing briefly throughout our days and noting both how God is with us and how God is around us and how we are seeing God in others. That is a spirit of attentiveness. And it really, really is a reality that God is with us. God is with you and God is with me. And God wants to be seen, and God wants to be heard, and God wants to be experienced, and God wants to be shared. So I invite us to be on the lookout this Advent season for God's extraordinary presence throughout our days. And I would love for you to email me this week some of the ways you're seeing the extraordinary God in your life so that we can share those next Sunday. What we're going to do now is we're going to move to some tables that are at the back. In a second, you're going to pick up your chair and you're going to move to the back. We can be like form kind of bigger circles around the tables. We don't have to all be tightly in there as if we're eating. And while we're sitting around the tables, you'll see there's two sets of images. One set of image is about the shepherds. So I'm going to have you look at the images of the shepherds, and there'll be a couple questions. And then there are some images of hope. So we'll first look at the images of the shepherds together. And when you look at the shepherds, we're invited to share with each other what stands out for you in this image. So just go around the table and say, what stands out for you? What emotions come to you when you look at the image? And in the images, where do you see hope? Just take time to look at the images. And then I'll let you know we're going to switch to the images of hope. And so how is hope represented in the picture to you? What details do you note? And where does hope begin for you in these images? And if you have a story of hope, I invite you to bravely share it at your table with one another, because we know that we're always encouraged by one another's stories in our faith journey. So please take your chair and find a table and start with the images of the shepherd. You can move them around the tables. You'll find a way to look at them as you share them. And I will be the timer, and then we'll move to the images of hope.